Welcome. Please, let's get into the Word of God immediately. Let's share a word of prayer as we get going. Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Lord, for your mighty presence in our midst, for everything that you're doing for us in this season. We're in awe of you, God. We thank you. We're amazed by your love, by your mercies, by your kindness, and we seek to know you more. Reveal yourself to us, Lord. Precious Holy Spirit, reveal the Father to us as we come around the Word of God. Open the eyes of our understanding. Enlighten us. Help us to see what we could not see before. In the name of Jesus. And in that process, draw us close to the Father. As we draw close to Him, draw us close to the Father. Make us more and more and more like Him, so that we can continue to share habitual fellowship, we can continue to walk with Him, we can continue to grow in our intimate relationship with Him. We bless and we magnify your name in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, God, for all of my brothers and sisters, everyone that's joining us tonight for this Bible study, and those that will partake of this word, this teaching afterwards. I pray for them and for their families, their loved ones. Father, that you remember them, that you bless them. Cause your mighty hands to rest upon them. Do a great work in all of their lives. I thank you for it, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Thank you so much for joining us again. I'm going to ask you to go with me into the Word of God. You know, we started out the year and I thought that we were going to open the year by talking about the divine reality of uncommon wisdom. And I was really fired up about it. I still am. And but we had to make an adjustment to that as we got into our first Bible study at the beginning of the year, when I suddenly found out the Lord wanted us to talk a bit more, focus a little bit, give a little bit of our attention to knowing Him. And so last week we kind of started talking about knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. Knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. And wow, what a glorious service and Bible study we had last week, just in the Word of God, just the presence of God, the Holy Spirit teaching us. And I expect that He's going to do the same thing tonight. So I hope you are excited. Let's just flow with it. Let's just allow Him to minister to us. If you don't mind, I'm not going to be too structured, too cut and dry. I'm just going to flow and let the Holy Spirit Himself teach us. He's the great teacher. Amen. Let's go and start from Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3 says, "Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come to us as the rain, as the latter and former rain, unto the earth. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth." I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version. It says, "Yes, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand Him. Let us be zealous." Oh, I love that so much. I love that so much. "Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to Him and to cherish Him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn, and He will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth." Glory be to God. Glory be to God. It is so exciting. The Word of God is so powerful. I'm going to re-emphasize one or two of the things we've already talked about. Having more zeal to serve God, to know God, to serve Him in a minute. But remember, 2022 is our year of divine everything. Recently, the Lord ministered to us very clearly, and he said, 2022 can be our year of divine approval. Because divine approval is the qualification for divine everything. When God approves of you, he will show up for you. He will show out for you. And so everything that we seek from him, everything that we desire him to do, all that we long for his power and his glory to accomplish in our lives will be done if he approves of us. It is our place to ensure that this year is a year of divine approval. You remember in Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, that can actually be one of our most significant theme scriptures for 2022. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22 can be one of our most significant scriptures for 2022. Let's read it together. We read it before. It says in Acts chapter 2 verse 22, "You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves know." As you yourselves know. And we were kind of focusing on that expression there where it says, "Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you." Now, of course, we know when God approves of you, he shows up. You see there are miracles and wonders and signs. If God approves of us, if he approves of us, he'll show up, he'll show out. There isn't any situation we'll deal with in our lives in this year and beyond where we will not see the manifest hand of God reveal himself. If he approves of us, the key is, do we have divine approval? I'm praying that 2022 will be your year of divine everything, and that 2022 will be your year of divine approval. I'm praying that this year will be your year of divine approval, that God will find it to approve of you. Now, that is not entirely up to him. In fact, we play a larger role in that. That's why what we're studying to open up the year is extremely important. Knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. Knowing God more, dwelling in the secret place. Hallelujah. If we know God more, we will gain his approval. The key to that divine approval is developing a closer relationship with God, is walking more intimately with him, is having a deeper connection and bond with him. Like Jesus said in one of the scriptures in John, say, "My Father has never left me." Sorry, I didn't prepare it, but let's look for it. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Thank you for being here. "My Father has never left me because I always do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So his divine approval, the divine approval that the Lord Jesus Christ enjoyed in his life, was because he was pleasing to God. He was pleasing to God. This one is easier for me to find, even though I didn't prepare it either. But you know, in Hebrews 11, the Bible says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God." And one of the examples of the people that were pleasing to God was the man Enoch. We're told in Genesis chapter 5 that Enoch walked with God. He was in habitual fellowship with God. And in Hebrews 11, the Bible says he was pleasing to God. I want to read that scripture. Let's read it. Let's look for it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Verse 5. It says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. Listen. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. He walked with God, and he lived a complete life, by the way. He lived 365 years, Enoch lived. We know that. And we know the Amplified Bible says in Genesis 5, I think it's 25, 26, I'm not sure, that he walked habitually with God. Well, we're finding out in the book of Hebrews, the Lord was pleased with him. Enoch had divine approval because the Lord was pleased with him. Let's see what the Amplified Version of Hebrews 11 verse 4 says. I haven't read it before now. Well, at least not preparing for this service. He says here in the Amplified Version, prompted, actuated by faith, Abel brought God, that's verse 4. We're reading verse 5. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death. Ooh, I love that. He did not have a glimpse of death. Glory to God. He did not have a glimpse of death. Enoch did not have a glimpse of death. He never knew death. Most of us, if the Lord tarries, will know death on this earth. Most of us will. But how amazing it will be, one, for those who don't know death, who actually get raptured when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. That's amazing. But even our lives on earth, those of us who will eventually know that translation through death and go on to be with the Father, how amazing it would be if throughout our life experience, we don't have a glimpse of death until our assignments are done, our times are lived out, our years are lived out, and we go on to heaven. And through that passage, through that corridor of death, the Bible says we go to sleep when that happens. But how amazing it would be if throughout our life experience, we actually don't see a glimpse of death. What did he say? He says, he was transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death. How amazing it would be if we don't have a glimpse of death in our life experience. That is, nothing dies while we are living. That everything about our lives subject to the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything. And how does that happen? You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 that I may know him. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We know that the key to not having the glimpse of death in our life experience is knowing God more. Oh, geez. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome. He's speaking that to us. He's telling us that the key to not having a glimpse of death in our life experience, while we are on earth, before our years are lived out, before our assignments are done, and we transition through glory, through death, to be with our Father, the key to not having a glimpse of death, nothing dying in our lives, nothing dying, living dreams and living hopes and living human physical bodies and living aspirations and living vocations and living ministries and living families and living everything, living finances, living health, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sorry, I'm getting excited. It's the word of God. The key to not having that glimpse of death is to know God more. Let's read this out here in the Amplified. Because of faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he did not have a glimpse of death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For even before he was taken to heaven, he received testimony, still on record, yes sir, still on record, that he had pleased and been satisfactory to God. He had pleased and been satisfactory to God. He had divine approval. Well, Jesus had divine approval. The reason he was close to the Father, the reason the Lord's approval was upon him, because he said, my Father has never left me. That's the scripture I said, maybe a bit more challenging to find, but we can find it. It's in John chapter 8. I know it's in chapter 8 somewhere, I think it is. We can find it. John chapter 8, I think. John chapter 8. That's it. I found it. John chapter 8 and verse 28. Look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory to God. The Father has not left me alone. That's divine approval. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Let's see what the Amplified Version says. Let's see what it says. It says, so Jesus added, when you have lifted up the Son of Man on the cross, you will realize, know, and understand that I am he for whom you look, and that I do nothing of myself, of my own accord, or on my own authority, but I say exactly what the Father has taught me. Verse 29, and he who sent me is ever with me. My Father has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Glory to God. So the key to the miracles, the wonders, the divine power of God, the divine dunamis, the key to having all that God has provided for us, for life and godliness, to be able to enter into glory and virtue, the key to partaking of the divine nature, is knowing God more. It's to be pleasing to him. It's drawing closer to him. The closer we are to him, the more pleasing we are to him. The closer we are to him, the more we become like him. He rubs off on us. The closer we are to him, the more we develop intimacy in our relationship with him. Hallelujah. You see that he says, let's grow in zeal. Let's be zealous to know the Lord. Hosea 6:3. Let's be zealous to know the Lord. And of course, last week, the Lord gave us a scripture here about David in Psalm 27, who helped us understand what that scripture meant in Hosea 6:3. To be zealous to know him. Here in Psalm 27 and verse 5, verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. To behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One thing have I desired. Zeal, being zealous to know God, is the same as desire. And how do we grow in that zeal? Here, David shows us. He says, my desire is to dwell One translation we read last week said to dwell in his presence, dwell in the house of the Lord, to behold the beauty of the, to behold the beauty of the Lord. The more we hang around him, the more we behold his beauty. The more we behold his beauty, the more we become like him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The Lord gave us Moses last week. We saw that. We didn't read the scripture, and I really don't want to read it now today because we have too much to cover, and I want to make, I told you at the beginning of this, I don't want to drag this out. I know there's going to be so much more to study and so much more to learn, but I'm trusting God that we learn exactly what we need to learn in this season, no more, no less. And I really don't, if it's left to me, I really don't want to have a very long series out of this. So we'll keep walking with the Lord and keep following him, and we're trusting God that within a few weeks we can wrap this up and move on to the next thing that he has for us. But of course, again, yielded to him, and I'll follow him. But that's not really my expectation. I'm not planning to have a long series out of this. But this is so foundational. I want us to see that. And when we talked about Moses last week, because someone can say, well, how can I grow in that zeal? How can I be zealous for him? Because I want to, but I just don't know how to. Well, one, David shows us how to. So one thing I desire is to dwell in your presence. All the days of my life, to behold your beauty and to inquire in his temple. So we know from Moses, we didn't read the scripture last week, but and I'm not going to read it today. But the Holy Spirit brought that illustration, and that was so good, so powerful. Moses did not know the Lord. From earlier on, his mother and father, Jochebed and Amram, they deposited some things about the knowledge of God within him. They told him some things about the people, the nation of Israel, the Hebrews. They were God's people. God had a plan. It was God who directed them through bringing Joseph ahead of them, brought them into the land of Egypt, and the Lord has a plan to set them free from the afflictions that they were all dealing with in the land of Egypt. And that the Lord was going to send them deliverer. But they didn't know their son was that deliverer. Moses didn't know he was the deliverer, although the knowledge they deposited within him stirred something within him. The moment he had the opportunity, the moment he saw a way to do something to deliver a Hebrew, he killed an Egyptian. And then he found out, oh, this is not how this is going to work out. And when everybody knew and Pharaoh knew about it, took off and ran. And of course, you know, married one of Jethro's daughters, became a shepherd. And while he was on the backside of the desert, in the fullness of time, at the fullness of, this is so powerful. Oh, Jesus. Because sometimes a lot of us believers are in a hurry, and we want to get ahead of God. We send some things, but we can't wait. And we say to ourselves, you know, yeah, you know, I've got to get it done quickly because time is going. Yeah, time is going, but you know what? There is a fullness of time. Bible says there's a time and a season for everything on earth. And if we trust God, and sometimes the reason why in such a hurry is we don't trust him. Bible says in Isaiah, they that believe will not make haste. If that assignment is something the Lord gave you, he will preserve your life. But there's a fullness of time for it. And in that fullness of time, you'll see everything comes together. As a matter of fact, like Moses, we may be reluctant to do it, and we will find out the Lord just keeps prodding us, I need you to do this, and everything will be ready. All things will be ready. But sometimes as believers, we get in a hurry, you know, human beings generally, we are impatient. We want to see it, right? You just heard the story of somebody who was praying for patience. He was telling the Lord, Lord, he was at the altar kneeling down praying for patience, praying that he will grow in the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruits of his patience. Lord, I need patience and I need it right now. Hallelujah. That's how most of us are. We're impatient. We're in a hurry. And sometimes we just got to realize God is a God of timing. And trusting God requires that we trust in his timing. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a revelation we all need to have. And I trust God that as the year goes along, this is one of the things that the Lord is going to have me minister on, if the Lord tarries. That we need to trust God. We need to trust his sovereignty. We need to trust his judgment. We need to trust his timing for everything in our lives. As long as we are doing our part, we're not lazy, we're not slothful, we're not slacking. No, we're walking. We're doing what the Lord called us to do in the moment. There's no reason to be impatient. There's no reason to be in a hurry. Don't let the enemy cheat you by deceiving you that if you don't get that thing done in a hurry, it will never be done. It will be done in the fullness of time. In fact, the way you may never get it fully accomplished is that you do it in a hurry. Because when you do it in a hurry, the ground isn't prepared. There are graces that God needs to put in place. Forgive me, I digress from, but this is, maybe somebody needs to hear this. There are graces, there are anointings, there are preparations that the Lord puts in place that can help those things come together. His work with different people who need to be worked on. He's prepared the ground. He's hooked up connections, divine appointments, divine orchestrations, and divine arrangements, and hallelujah, divine favor and everything. Divine everything. And you see, in the fullness of time, it comes together. I pray that you can wait for the fullness of time. That was a word for somebody. So Moses, when the fullness of time came, the Lord created the burning bush. Went looking for him in the backside of Moses had no desire, no appetite, no interest whatsoever in dealing with anything Egypt. He didn't want to see them. He didn't want to hear about them. Maybe it even gave him nightmares. Because, you have to run in a hurry out of that country. He had no desire. But God went looking for him. When the fullness of time came. Hi, I pray your fullness of time will come quicker than you know. In the name of Jesus. Yes, sir. In our new book, I'm remembering that as we go along in this service. In our new book, The God of the Overflow, there's one of the lines there, something there that the Lord gave us. And I think it's in that chapter that talks about your seed is your future. Somewhere there it talks about due season always comes and due season is on the way. Due season. Due season is the appointed time. God is a God of timing. There is an appointed time, an appointed season for everything you desire in your life. Everything. Due season. He said in Galatians 6, be not weary in well-doing. Be not weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap, if we faint not. There is an appointed time. And of course, in the Psalms, Psalm 102, he said, this is the time, this the set time to favor Zion. This set time has come to favor Zion. God is a God of time. He walks with the fullness of time. Remember when he showed Abraham this, I digressed, but it's a word for somebody. Somebody needed to hear this because I didn't plan at all to say anything about this. But you remember, when the Lord had this encounter with Abraham, And Abraham was saying, Lord, when are you? Am I going to ever have this son? And is Eliezer my servant? Is he going to be my heir now? Is he the one who's going to inherit everything? And Lord said, you are going to have. And then Abraham, you know, made this sacrifice and had this covenant exchange with God. And he laid out all these animals. And in the presence of God actually came in Genesis 15 and walked over those things. And the Lord started to prophesy to him. Tell him your seed. This is a man who doesn't even think, believe that he's going to have a seed. God is telling your seed will become like stars. They will become like this. And then they will go into captivity. And then And then at the point he said, you know, he says the sin of the something like, I'm putting this not exactly there, but this is a translation of it. The cup, the sin of the Amorites is, why don't I look for it? Just want to show you something here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us tonight. Thank you for being here. It's Genesis 15. Let's see what he said there. It says that it came to pass in verse 17, verse 13. He said unto Abraham, know of a surety, your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. See, what Moses was experiencing was prophesied years, hundreds of years before. Thank you, Holy Spirit. None of this was supposed to be my teaching tonight. And he says, that's not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. Talking about Egypt. And afterward, they shall come out with great substance. You know that's what happened? They did not go out empty. They got silver and gold, and they are so much favor. They did not go out empty. He said in verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. Verse 16, but in the fourth generation, watch this now, in the fourth generation, they shall come here, talking about the land of Canaan, is their promised land. The Lord said, I'm going to bring them back to this land of Canaan, their promised land. He said, in the fourth generation, they shall come here again for the iniquity, watch this, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full.
What's it?
It's not yet full. That is the fullness of time to execute that judgment that the Amorites were going to be subjected to was not yet ready. Their iniquity, that cup was not full yet. God is a God of timing. And just look at, thank you, Holy Spirit, because all of these things are connected. Just look at what the Lord did with Moses. Because when the fullness of time came, he went looking for him in the backside of the desert. Moses had no interest. He had zero interest in doing anything with Egypt. But God went looking for him. Now, let's move. Let's move through this quickly so we can learn a bit more about knowing God as well. Glory to God. I heard that. That even in the things we're discussing, we're knowing God more. None of this is exempt. None of this is separate from knowing God. We're learning about God, how he works, him, his thinking, his ways. That's how we know God. The more we know about his ways, the more we know about his thinking, his thoughts. Like he said in Isaiah 55, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than yours. Well, in learning about the ways of God, we're knowing him. That's what we're doing. I didn't plan this tonight, but that's what we're doing. And when the fullness of time came, the Lord went looking for Moses. The things that God was going to do with Moses were prophesied hundreds of years before Moses even showed up. And even though Moses spent 40 years in the wilderness, he was still on time with God.
Oh, Jesus.
Even though he spent 40 years in the wilderness, roaming and taking care of animals, which that was not his calling. Jesus. But he was still on time with God. What I'm trying to say to you, the Holy Spirit is endeavoring to show us tonight in this service. Because knowing God involves God, but it involves us. And Moses had no desire, had nothing. But guess what? The Lord created a burning bush to get his attention, to attract him. And he said, oh, look at this. I behold this sight. Oh, I'll now turn aside and see what this is about. He did. And when he approached it, the Lord called his name. Called his name. I'll now see what he called his name. He went there and the Lord said, take off your feet. Take off your shoes from off of your feet. Because where you stand is holy. Immediately the Lord introduced him to his holy nature. His divine nature. And from then on, Moses got on a journey, a quest to know God. He came to a point in his life, in his walk, God said, he's my friend. The Bible says he spoke with him face to face, face to face. Can you believe that? God spoke with Moses face to face. A man who started out almost as a heathen. So all of us can know God. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. All of us can know God. All of us can know God. Let's read. I'm going to jump something here. Let's read one scripture, and I'm going to go read a couple of notes because I see our time is going, and I want to just say that. The Lord wants me to say that part, so I'm going to kind of skip something here. But I want you to look with me at that. Look at Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 real quick. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Woo! Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Come on, pray that prayer with me. Lord, the greatest desire in all my heart is to know you more. I want to know you more. I long for you. I desire you. Lord, reveal yourself to me. Precious Holy Spirit, reveal the Father to me. Help me behold his beauty. Help me see his presence. Help me dwell in his presence every day. Help me walk closely with him. Help me know him more and more and more and more. In the name of Jesus. Yes, I know that this desire in my heart is not even as strong as I want it to be. Sometimes I'm distracted. Sometimes I'm carried away by the affairs of life. But Lord, deep down in my heart is a yearning. You put that yearning there. It's a yearning to know you more. To know you more. Help me know you more. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Oh, beloved, this is so good. This is so good. Woo, this is so good. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Woo, thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, man, the power of God is so strong here. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. Let's read that scripture. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. This is Paul, the apostle. That I may know him. This is quest. This is desire. This is hunger. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his sufferings. Be made conformable unto his death. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, we've read this scripture a few times. Listen to how the Amplified Version reads it. It's a little long, but I'm going to read it to you. Just listen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, that's the cry of our heart. That's our great desire, our longing, our quest, our thirst. Listen to this, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10 in the Amplified Version. It says, "For my determined purpose is that I may know him, that I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him." That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. Hi. That I may, in the same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Listen to this. That I may become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, perceiving, recognizing, and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly. And that I may, in the same way, come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection. This is Paul. That I may know him, perceiving, recognizing, understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, that I may know the power outflowing from his resurrection. Now, we've done a little bit of teaching around this, and just need to say one or two things here before I run out of time tonight. So I believe the Holy Spirit wants me to jump one or two things there and just say these words, put them out there. And it is very likely we're going to come back to Philippians chapter 3 verse 10 and again delve a little bit more, because we need some clarity and understanding in that scripture about the knowledge of God, knowing God more. And our goal and our purpose, like you said, my determined purpose, as our determined purpose is to know him, that we may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. That's exactly what's going on with us tonight. It's our determined purpose to know him. And tonight, we're progressively becoming more intimate, more acquainted with him. And there is some understanding we need to have, more on this, further understanding. The Lord is going to help us do that. But I'm going to skip that tonight. I want to say a few things to us before I close here that are really, really important when it comes to knowing God. It is very important to keep in mind no one is too high or too low when it comes to walking closely with God. No one is so spiritual that they don't need to know God more. I don't care how long you've been walking with the Lord. I don't care how much you've learned on your journey. I don't care how much you've accomplished. Matter of fact, the more you accomplish, the further ahead, the further along you go on this journey, the more you need to know God more. The more we do for the Lord, those of us who have known him for years and decades, maybe there's someone who's known him for over a century. I doubt it that there's anybody that we know who's known him for over a century alive right now. But even if we have, the further along we go on this journey, the more we realize the need that we have to know him more. The higher we go on our walk with him, the more we need to know him more. Because we don't want to trip up. Like Jesus said, we want to be pleasing to him. The further we go on our journey, the stakes get higher. We want to know him more. So there's no one too high that we can, that there isn't so much more to know about the Lord or know of the Lord. And there isn't anyone so low, no matter how low we are. Maybe we just got started on this journey. Let me see, where am I with my time? Wow, I'm almost out of time. Thank you, Lord. Maybe you just got started. Maybe you got started a few years ago. Maybe you got started and then you tripped up, you backslid, you went back into the world. It doesn't matter. Or maybe you've been stagnated in your walk with him. It doesn't matter. You are not too low to develop a close walk with God. Nobody is. See, we just talked about Moses. Thank you, Lord. And if you remember, one of the things we said about Moses was he didn't have any relationship with the Lord when the Lord went and introduced himself to him. God didn't see Moses as too low. He didn't have any relationship with God. But as he continued to grow in the knowledge of God and grow in his walk with God, he came to a point in time when the Lord referred to Moses as his friend. It came to a point in his life, on his walk, when the Lord actually said, I speak to him face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. So, no one is too low. It's also very important to keep in mind, no personality is exempt from the grace that God makes available to his people to know him and walk closely with him. No personality is exempt. Sometimes people think, the quiet people, the introverts, the deep thinkers, they are the ones who can know God more. But, extroverts and people that are just all over the place, who are not really quiet, who are not really deep thinkers, no, they are not exempt. God created all of us. And when he created us, he put within us the depth of desire to know God. I like to say this very strong. No personality is exempt. Think about this. John the Beloved. You remember John the Beloved, one of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who always described himself as the one Jesus loved. The one who put his heart and his head on Jesus' heart and Yeah, you could tell he was quiet, probably introverted. But he became close to Jesus. And he was one of his most trusted companions and associates. Praise God. What about Peter? Peter was nothing like John. He was not quiet. He was not an introvert. He was none of those things. Peter was loud. He was impetuous. Peter talked before he thought. Peter stepped out before he... You know the stories of Peter. And probably part of the reason why he was the one who got the most correction amongst the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ was probably because he was the one who always said what everybody was thinking. And everybody was thinking this thing, but they kept quiet. They didn't say it. Peter would say it. Before anybody else said anything, he would say it. And he will say it before he has thought it properly. But did Peter get close to the Lord? Yes, he did. He was one of the Lord Jesus Christ's closest companions and associates. I'm just trying to say, no human, no Christian is exempt. No personality, no experience. Praise God, if for those of us who've been walking with the Lord for a while, we've been consistent in our work. Praise God, what a blessing. There's a blessing in developing consistency with God. Praise God. But for those who don't have that consistency, those who've never had it, those who've never been committed, who've never really been faithful or consistent, or God, there's an open, the Lord is calling you to. The Lord is calling you to. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, this just blesses me so much. This blesses me so much. God will reveal himself to anyone who has a yearning and a hunger for him. From Enoch, who broke the trend of ungodliness, to Abram, the idol worshiper of the sun god Moon. You know, Abram, this father of our faith we talk about today, you know, he started out as an idol worshiper. When God called him first, he was an idol worshiper. And God said, come out from out of your father's house and to a land that I will show you, and I will bless you, and I'll make you a blessing. Through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, in Genesis 11 and Genesis 12. Abraham was not a godly man. He just responded to God's call. And he went all the way with God. We can read about Enoch and Enoch, that's a great resume. That's an absolutely blessed, all of us should desire the blessing that was on Enoch's life. Yeah, praise God. But Abraham was nothing like that. In fact, they worshipped the sun god called Moon, M-O-O-N. It was an idol worshiper when God called him. But when God called him, he responded. From Jacob, the runaway fugitive, to Moses, the weary shepherd in the land of Midian. All of these people, remember when God revealed himself and encountered Jacob, who had just stolen his brother's birthright and blessing, was running away, and God stopped him right there in the book of Genesis. I told you I don't really want to drag this. I just want us to have this conversation, and I know I've got to close shortly. I just want to have this conversation with us, and you can check these scriptures. I don't have to read all these scriptures, but if you do have a yearning to know and to grow in the Lord, as I'm putting out all these things that the Holy Spirit has sown as seeds within me, you can grow this. You can grow in this, and you can go and you can develop this for yourself, and you can go dig into this and gain more understanding and gain more knowledge and then develop in your closeness with the Lord. I mean, the Lord revealed himself to Jacob in Genesis 28. Jacob stole his brother's birthright, stole his brother's blessing, was running away from when the Lord revealed himself to him. And he was in a dream. He saw this ladder and angels going up and coming down. And the Lord said, I'm the God of your father. God revealed himself. And you know, when Jacob got up from his sleep, he said, wow, God is in this place. And I did not know it. I did not know it. This is none other than the house of God. The Lord will reveal himself to anyone. If God could reveal, let's close here. If the Lord could reveal himself, let's close here and read that scripture. What's how many? I got 3 minutes. Let's read that verse of scripture. Let's read that verse of scripture and close out there, okay? You remember Genesis 28, when Jacob, after he saw this, he had this encounter with God, and hallelujah. You remember? And the Lord kind of, you know, revealed himself to him and spoke to him, is, I'm with you, and all of that in verse 15, Genesis 28, verse 15, and behold, I'm with you, and I will keep you in all places whither you, where you go, and I will bring you again into this land, for I will not leave you until I've done that which I have spoken unto you of. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was not that spiritual. He wasn't one of the Jim Jim ones, the Jim Jims. Super spiritual, who could pick it up quick. If the Lord is in a place, they come in, they just sniff it. Ah, God is here. God is here. He was not like that. Praise God for those who are like that. That's a blessing. There's nothing wrong with that. Praise God. The more you walk with the Lord, the closer you get. And, you know, sometimes you can tell some things that many people can't tell. You can perceive things that many people can't see. And praise God. But Jacob was not like that. If God stood in Jacob's front, Jacob would not recognize him. He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid, and he said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And he created a memorial there and named that place Bethel, the house of God. Folks, let's close. Anyone, every one of us can know the Lord closely. We can know the Lord. We can walk closely with him. That's all I'm trying to say. None of us is exempt from the grace that God makes available for us to know him. So let that be the yearning of your heart. This is your invitation. This is our invitation. The Lord is calling us, know me more. Know me more. Walk closely with me, and I'll reveal myself to you. Why don't you go ahead and bless the Lord? Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. We receive it. Thank you, Father, for your mighty presence in our midst. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We continue to seek your face, to look up to you, to desire you. Have your way in our lives, O God. We bless you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.